Wow. Wow. That is really a small bottle of water. Well, it's a joy to be with you, and it's pretty exciting to see this beautiful facility. It's great to have my number of Jewish friends here today, so Shabbat Shalom. And Baruch Hashem Adonai Elohim Israel Yeshua HaMashiach. You haven't got the foggiest idea what I just said, do you? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, and of course the Messiah, our Lord Yeshua. His name is Yehoshua, and we abbreviate it and call him Yeshua, which has been the name the Messianic Jewish community has committed themselves to. I have a complete booklet on it, The Name Above All Names. If you've never seen it, you're going to be surprised big time. It's about time we get this straight, and about time we understood it, because the Bible says neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is found in that name. I noticed up here, we're going to hear about it a little later, these beautifully bound Bibles. Here's one with, Hebrew, and English, wow. It's in 8 languages, by the way. And would you believe it? Here is the Brit Hagadash, the New Testament, in Hebrew and in English as well, beautifully bound. Did you know that these are free if you have a Jewish friend? If you can tell Jerry and Nancy Sand who the Jewish friend is and they need the Lord, you know what the number one response is? Jewish people start crying. They can't believe anybody would have done this for them. This is one of the spectacular things that's available to you this day. And our pastor will mention several. I notice he's going to Israel. I just got back, and he's going again. And his price is cheaper than ours. Anyway, I'll let him talk about all of that. Armageddon, am I standing right in the way of that? No? Well, you can't even see the picture. Yeah, I'm not the side view of a postcard, so, I mean, come on. Maybe I should move a little to the left or right. What do you think?
You want it? Sure.
What do you think?
So, unfortunately, we can just project it right there, but David, won't you be careful with this?
Yes. Okay. Praise the Lord.
You all right?
Amen. There it is. Armageddon. Did you move that over or did I move it over? It's okay. Like if I go over here, do you see more? You're okay? People have been asking me, what are you going to speak about down in San Marcos? Oh, we'll go easy on them. Just talk about Armageddon in the last days. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation. Did you know that Hope for Today, yesterday, began a new series on Revelation? And we've already had some tremendous response, and we thank the Lord, and several of you have told me about it. You can also hear me teach the Gospel of Netanyahu, or Matthew, every Monday night at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. We stream it live out of Calvary Chapel, Tustin, where I'm speaking. And we now have several thousand people watching it. If you don't get it, you can go to our website. Yes, a website that is not our normal one, but one that we had to buy so people stopped jerking us around. So we now own our own site called hftmedia.org. You go to that site, there's no cost, it's free, and you can not only get a whole series of revelation, but you can get all of Isaiah, all 66 chapters taught. And we have other series that are on it. And take a look at it and use your internet, hftmedia.org. By the way, we do have a monthly newsletter. It's free. I always say, get free stuff. Amen. But our newsletter is free, and you can sign up at our table afterwards, and we'll be happy to send it to you. Just give us an address. We also have a weekly email about Israel. And boy, are we in a very serious time with Israel. What do you got there? Oh, they just signed that up? That's all they have to do? You're doing everything for them. This is my son, Jason. Doesn't he look good? Yeah, Israel. We have this site called HFT Connect. It's on the front page of our regular website, davidhocking.org. And you can just click on, put in your email. That's all you have to do, and it comes every week to you. You want to know why it's so serious right now? I could hardly believe it. It's like the Lord prepared this conference, particularly because of what's happening in our world. And no, I don't mean President Trump and the North Korean dictator. No. Androgen of Turkey has been causing trouble to Israel for some time. He has now called for all the Islamic leaders of the Middle East. They met this last week. And he called for 1 year to build the largest Islamic army the world has ever seen. And we will attack Israel and destroy her once and for all. That was just this week. What does that mean to us? I think the rapture's close. If I were you, I'd make sure you're going. Amen. We don't want you to be left behind. Did you go to Revelation chapter 16? Amen. Just a few verses here. Revelation 16. In fact, why don't I just... do I have a clicker? Or, oh, you do. Amen. The sixth angel of the seven last plagues. The sixth one poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates. Look at this. There's a map. Look at where the strategic placing of Euphrates as well as the Tigris called the Hittical in the Bible. The water thereof was dried up that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Wow. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Didn't say they're frogs. It says like frogs. Come out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan himself, out of the mouth of the beast, that is the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And that's Pope Francis. Oh, no, I shouldn't draw a conclusion. The most non-biblical pope ever in the history of the Catholic Church. May God help him, his eyes to get open. For they are the spirits of devils or demons, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. That's what we're talking about, Armageddon. Behold, I come as a thief. The words of our Lord Yeshua put right in the Armageddon message. Blessed is he that watcheth, he that keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege of this conference. And I pray, God, you'd open up our eyes. Lord, even in preparing this, I'm thinking, we're almost there now. The world is making plans to destroy your people Israel. And how we thank you that it'll never happen. Help us to study God's word carefully. And bless our time together, we pray. In the wonderful name of our Lord Yeshua. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now let's put it up here. I'm going to give you a series of things. Oh, by the way, I knew that you would love to have this material, and I knew that it's very hard to write down all the notes with the speed at which I will teach. So, the entire message, word for word, is in a special booklet called Armageddon in the Last Days that I made for this conference. And it's back on the table, right? They're normally only $5, these booklets. This one will be about $2,000. We have to support the ministry. I'm just joking. I've been writing these booklets. Why? Because I noticed people, maybe in the last couple of years, have stopped reading the big books. Now, I have a big book on Revelation. My first one on Revelation had 280 pages. This one has 576 pages. That's over on that table. And it will really help you on Revelation. Trust me. It's worth having. But anyway, I noticed people were not reading long books much anymore. That's true in the secular world, by the way. So the booklet idea with a special subject really hit me, and I've written about 12 of them now this last year. And I hope it will be a blessing to you. And for this conference, instead of $5, you can get three of them for $10. What a deal. Wow. I'm not a used car dealer, and I believe in giving as many free things and cheap things as we possibly can to the body of Christ. Amen? Wow. Let's put it up there. Next one. The first thing I want you to see is the meaning of the term. And right away, we have a huge controversy among Bible preachers and teachers of prophecy. I'll show you why. What's the meaning of the term? It's the hill of Megiddo. So a lot of people have drawn a conclusion that the final battle is going to be in what's called the Plain of Esdraelon in the Vale of Jezreel. It's the beautiful valley between Samaria and the hills of Galilee. But we got a problem here. Why? Because in Revelation 14, 19 to 20, it calls this great day of God that's coming, it calls it the great winepress of the wrath of God. And what's in the winepress is blood. The blood will flow up to the horses' bridles. Put it up again. Next. Here it is. 1,600 furlongs, by the way, putting it into modern terms, is 180 miles. And now we have people arguing about where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. Some teach it's a radius around Jerusalem, and they use passages like Zechariah 12, 13, 14 to teach that. I'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. Everybody who concerns themselves with it is asking for trouble. The radius around Jerusalem, I don't think so. I don't think it's 180 miles. It's only 50 miles from Jerusalem into the Mediterranean. I don't think God's talking about the Mediterranean Sea. Here's another one. Well, it's the length of the Jordanian Valley. How'd they get this? They go from Megiddo all the way over to the Jordan River, all the way down to the Jordan River, and cross at the Allenby Bridge and go up to Amman, Jordan, and then south to Bozrah, B-O-Z-R-A-H. It is the ancient capital of Jordan. Why Bozrah? Because in Isaiah chapter 63, it tells us that the Messiah is not going to come to the Mount of Olives first. He's going to come to Bozrah, the ancient capital. I've been all over that area. It's much like what we had at Desert Storm on the east side of the Saudi desert. It's flat. We were able to mobilize 280,000 of our military, plus all the tanks and all of that. They were able to assemble there. So now, because of Isaiah 63, they're thinking from Megiddo all the way down Jordanian Valley up to Jordan, south of Amman to Bozrah. So that's number three. The length of the Jordanian Valley, it's possible. Megiddo to Bozrah happens to be 180 miles. So that's possible too. But I think the correct answer is the entire land of Israel will be the bloodbath of Armageddon in the last days. You say, are you sure? Well, let me check my notes. Yeah? Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, the final battle's going to be... It has to include all of Israel because of multiple passages. You see, what sometimes we do that we shouldn't do is take a given verse and make a gigantic argument from it without looking at other scriptures. That's one of the reasons I've written a number of booklets about Israel, Israel in the last days, about its land and all of that. And when you see it, it opens your eyes. I'll give you an example. I had a funeral out at Riverside, the military park, and it was a very well-known officer from the war, and the place was crowded, about 500 people, and it was outdoors. And right before I spoke, a man came up to me and introduced himself. He said, I'm a pastor, and I don't agree with you. I said, I haven't talked yet. He said, well, I know what you're going to say. Really? You know what I'm going to say? Because I'm not real sure myself. Anyway, turns out he is the leading exponent on the West Coast of replacement theology. Wow. Replacement theology believes that God is no longer working with Israel. They've been replaced by the church. There'll be more today about this. This is undermining Israel, and they're very disturbed about it. So I said to him, you know, I've written a little bit about Israel. He said, so? I said, I'm going to send you the booklet. He said, do whatever you want. He gave me his card. I sent it to him. 2 weeks later, he calls me on the phone and said, I don't know how to apologize, but you're right and I'm wrong. Amen. I said, what made you make that decision so quick? He said, it's that dumb booklet you sent me. All it is filled with scripture. I didn't know there was so much scripture about Israel. I said, my friend, Israel is the second biggest subject next to the Lord himself. Who's kidding who? You want to know what the third is? Babylon. Oh, that's not a small subject. It's mentioned 286 times. And it happens to be what's happening on planet Earth right now. Wow. This is getting kind of thick. And you see, because of our lack of reading God's word about Israel, we can't come to a right decision about where Armageddon is going to take place. In fact, I have had some personal relationships with former prime ministers of Israel. By the way, you need to pray for Netanyahu. All hell's breaking out against him. It's somewhat of the opposition, but it deals somewhat with some of his relationships with the enemies of Israel, and they're filing a lawsuit of corruption against him. He's the longest reigning prime minister ever. And I believe that he has knowledge of the Word of God that can set the people free if he'd only preach it. But, getting back to this, the nation of Israel is so much in the Bible that you eventually come out to what I believe is the answer to Armageddon. It has to be the entire land of Israel. It's going to be a bloodbath. I don't want it to happen. I've got Israeli friends there, and I love them. I don't want it to happen. I don't want Edgerton to win and bring an Islamic army, even though I know God will defend his people. But the fact is, it's happening right now, not 1,000 years from now. We need to wake up. I believe we're going to see some serious voting problems related to the nation of Israel. I see it already. They're pressuring President Trump to give up his idea of peace in Israel. Why? Because he's back saying we'll divide the land. Are you kidding? In the Bible, the guy's on the wrong side who divides the land. Oh, by the way, Israel has never had the land God promised them. It goes all the way from the Nile River clear to the river Euphrates. Saudi Arabia belongs to Israel. And when I preach to Muslims, I say, we want you to give it back. And Jordan and Lebanon and Syria and some of the Gulf states, they all belong to Israel according to the Bible. And God's going to see to it one day. You can count on it. Let me give you a second thing to look at. The multitudes who gather against Israel. Once again, I don't want to teach this, but it's a Bible, so I have to. And I'm worried about what's going to happen soon in the nation of Israel. By the way, I do know from their military that they are also very, very concerned. Last week, Rouhani of Iran went to the United Nations again and blamed Israel for causing all the trouble in the Middle East. He said they keep shooting down our facilities. He forgot to mention that they were all filled with weapons and that they were on the border of Israel. The lies are incredible. I have a booklet, new one out, called Don't Believe the Lies. You'll find it very interesting since most of them are believed by the United States Congress. So there's a lot of hypocrisy there. A lot of weak and fake news about their support of Israel. God help us. Well, the Bible says, well, let me show it to you. Revelation 16 that we just read where the argument about Armageddon is, calls it the whole what? The whole world is going to come. Joel 3:11, all the heathen. The word heathen, goyim, also is translated nations and also translated as Gentiles. Wow. And in chapter 3 of Joel, verse 14, multitudes in the valley of decision. I heard a pastor recently quote that as a Billy Graham crusade. What? No, it's talking about Armageddon. It is not talking about something that's going to be wonderful and many people say, no, we're talking about the judgment of God, that God is going to be like a lion roaring out of Zion. We got something terrible coming. In Zechariah 12, all the people of the earth, verse 9, all nations are going to be involved. Israel is being blamed now. Over 600 condemnations in the UN, which to me is not the United Nations. I call it the United Nothing. It's the most wicked, unbelievably anti-biblical organization ever designed by man. I've been going to Canada for some time. I'll be going there again in July. We have a total ministry up there. And one of the conferences that we went to was the Winnipeg Promise in Manitoba. Just about 4 years ago, they got tired of my preaching about Israel. And so the leaders of the Mennonite churches in Manitoba asked me to talk with them about the problem. I had to look it up. I have now said this publicly, so I'm not saying anything I haven't already committed myself to. In the United Nations, one of the worst organizations imaginable is controlled by the Mennonites of Winnipeg, Manitoba. And 4 years ago, I debated 40 of their leaders. I thought it would be for just 10 or 15 minutes. It turned out to be 3 hours. And one of the men at the end of that, he said, "Well, you put us at a disadvantage." I said, "Why?" "Because you keep quoting scripture." "Oh, you haven't read it?" "Oh, I'm sorry. You see, your view is wrong. Do you know what they control? I've always wondered about this. They control the Human Rights Commission, the worst anti-Israel group in the UN. And the Mennonite people themselves, whom I have talked to, some precious people up there, there are many of them that are pulling away from the Mennonites of Manitoba. I'm not saying all 19 denominations that are Mennonites are wrong. I'm saying those guys in Manitoba are wrong. This is a serious problem. And so they began to affect people. And for the last couple of years, we've had to move out of Abbotsford, where our offices are, and where we have a conference every year in July, because all the churches thought we were teaching heresy. That's what the Mennonites told them about our teaching about Israel. But you know, our Lord told us this was going to come. Persecution. It's here. And boy, don't go and listen to David. He's crazy. Well, we all know that if you've listened to me. But the problem has gotten more severe. So different churches and auditoriums that we wanted to rent were no longer available. Did that stop me on the radio? Uh-uh. We just poured it on a little bit more. But the truth is, they finally gave up. And we will be back in Abbotsford in July. Teaching God's word about Israel. Armageddon in the last days. Do not miss what God says over and over again. I've only given you a few things. The entire world, all the nations of the world, did not our Lord in Matthew 24 tell us they will be hated of all nations? It's either true or it's not. I'm going to believe the Lord. How about you? In other words, we who believe what the Bible says about Israel are going to be isolated more and more and condemned and criticized and persecuted. And it's already happened. But that's okay. It's kind of like sick 'em to a dog. When they criticize it, I get stronger. I don't know. I just can't stop. You see, I want to be on the right side when the Lord comes. How about you? Amen. This is a very serious matter. So, let me give you a third thing. If you think this is a small deal, you better think again. Passage after passage shows us that marvels will be seen in the heavens and on the earth. Matthew 24 says the sun will be dark, the moon will not give her light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. You find the same stuff in Amos and Joel and Zephaniah among the minor prophets. The fact is, folks, that we're seeing the fulfillment in what's happening. Joel says, I'll show wonders in the heavens, says the Lord, in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. That's a reference to Armageddon, it always has been. Every now and then I get a letter from our radio audience that says, do you believe in the four red blood moons? No, I don't. For one reason, the fourth one was to be the rapture last year in September. It didn't happen. Can't be the fulfillment of God's word. Plus the fact, God never says there'll be four red blood moons in color. It's worse than that. It'll be turned into blood, which will be far more dramatic. We need to understand what God's word says. In Luke, it tells us, men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Wow. Next. Oh, boy. The more I read about Armageddon, the more I ask myself the question of this point. Is Israel going to survive? They're going to be attacked by all the armies of the world? How are they going to survive? Our Lord said in Matthew 24, learn a parable of the fig tree. You remember that? And when the branch is tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise, when you see all these things that he was predicting were coming, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, one of the biggest controversies among prophecy Bible teachers I'm going to tell you about right now. If you don't know about it, it's big time. They're now saying if you're not on the side of some of these men's views, that you really don't know the Bible. Oh, really? Well, let's take a look at it. He said, this generation. Wow. That's used 16 times in the Bible. More about that in a minute. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Huh. So I have some prophecy teacher friends that hold the following views. One, that it's referring to 40 years. Where'd they get that? Well, they got it out of Psalms and Hebrews, where it mentions this generation. And they say, this must be it. No, I don't think so. But that is one of their views, and they feel very strong about it. Hal Lindsey felt real strong about it when he wrote his wonderful book that led a generation into what we call the Jesus people. It was something else. How many of you know about it? Yeah, many of you do. God bless you. But he said it starts in 1948 when Israel became a nation. 40 years would be 1988, which he taught would begin the tribulation period. Didn't happen. Hello? Is everybody all right? And I've told Hal about that. He says, are you still reading my book? Actually, I'm not. Number two. Oh, it's really 70 and 80 years, and this is a big one this summer. Why? Because we were celebrating 70 years of the nation of Israel from 1948. Where did they get this? Well, they got it from Psalm 90, verse 10. where it says the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it soon cut off and we fly away. I'm sorry, but the 70 years ended last year. Hello? Everybody okay? Some of you are probably saying, Martha, have you ever heard this? You know, this is serious stuff. Well, here's a popular one. It's being preached at conferences where I have been to. And that is that it's referring to those listening at the time. Well, that can't be, because they wouldn't be alive at the many predictions that our Lord gave of the future, if it's just those listening at the time. But that kind of makes sense. He's talking to them and says, this generation shall not pass away. So it must mean those who are listening now. Well, then it's a lie, because he said all of this will be fulfilled. Well, it can't be. It's impossible. They're all predicted for the future. Wow. Oh, great. Now what are we going to do? Well, I don't want you to panic, but I believe that the Bible is referring to the nation of Israel again. Not only those who listened at the time, but those who will be alive later on when it happens. The nation of Israel is this generation. You say, how do you know that? Thank you, I thought you would ask. Go to Matthew chapter 23, which obviously is the chapter in front of Matthew 24. Everybody okay? Hang in there. I'm turning in my Bible. Matthew 23. This is interesting. Right before his prophecy message in chapter 24 and 25. Look at verse 36 of chapter 23. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon what? This generation. And what's the next words? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Then who is the this generation in the context, as well as in the passage immediately in front of his message? And the answer is, again, the nation of Israel. That's who he's talking about. Well, then the nation of Israel will survive. This generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Many of those things haven't happened yet on planet Earth. But even though they will, there's going to be the miracle of Israel's survival. Wow. Believest thou this? Well, when you get one of those booklets, you'll have all of the scripture printed out for you already. But I want to talk about the survival of the nation of Israel. Put it up here. It's based on three things. If you don't hear anything else today, please listen to these three things. Why will Israel survive this worldwide attack and hatred from all the nations of the world? Why will they survive? One, it's based on God's foreknowledge. In Romans chapter 11, verse 2, it says, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Israel will never be destroyed because God has based it all on his foreknowledge. Did you know that God knows everything about you before you were born? He knew what your parents would call you, in case you wanted a different name. God's foreknowledge? Yes. Did you know the only way we get saved is by his foreknowledge? Romans tells us so. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Wow. Foreknowledge is a big issue, and you will have and rejoice in it. All those verses piled up for you in that booklet. Number two, it's based on God's faithfulness. Way back in Deuteronomy, God chose Israel among all the nations of the world. He loved them. He promised everything to them. And it says, because God is faithful. Wow. This is amazing. Did you know on planet Earth, when the kingdom of the Messiah is established, did you know who will be the prince running things in his behalf? That's right, King David. Well, he died a long time ago. No, he's already alive. He's in heaven. My missionary brother, after 60 years in the field, died on Christmas Eve, 2018. He's in heaven. He now knows more than I do. Wow. Then we shall know as we have been known. We're going to know more. We're not going to be more stupid in heaven than we are now. Amen? Well, are we going to talk, communicate? Of course. How do you know that? Well, Revelation tells us again in the opening six warnings. He tells us that there are martyrs under the altar who are alive in heaven and keep asking the Lord, how long until you settle things? He said, a little while longer, there's more people going to join you. They're talking about prophecy in heaven. Well, will we know one another in heaven? I don't think we'll be more stupid than we are now. Will we look like we look? Pray not. Pray not. We don't know any of that stuff, but I'll tell you one thing I know. God is faithful. Why, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God is faithful. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What a wonderful Lord we have. Number three, the third thing, foreknowledge, faithfulness, and forgiveness. I had a pastor, he's really upset with Israel. He said, they're always disobeying God. I said, well, this might surprise you, but I bet the people of your church, they're a little unfaithful once in a while. He said, oh, we got a lot of problems. Well, then quit criticizing Israel. Your own people are not being faithful to God. So how are we going to get through this? He said, boy, I don't know. I think we need to put some pressure on him. No, I think we ought to teach God's forgiveness. He can wipe you clean forever. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? The Bible says that God will never remember your sins against you anymore. Isn't that great, Pastor? Because you've got a few, you know. Thank God for a godly wife. Boy. Anyway, God's foreknowledge, God's faithfulness, yes, but God's forgiveness. That is worth talking about over and over and over again. Let's put up the next slide. The fifth thing I want you to see about Armageddon is the Messiah is the one who's going to defend Israel. Believest thou this? Oh, I tell you, this is wonderful. I love to teach on the messianic victory that's coming for the nation of Israel. And I ask my Jewish guide all the time, I said, when are you going to make that decision to believe in the Messiah? He said, I know it's possible that he's Yeshua. You know it's possible. If I told you the Bible clearly teaches that he's the only hope. Well, when you put it like that, you're sure making it rough on some of us. Because, you know, we're tour guides in Israel. What a wonderful place to be in. You can tell all the people, don't forget, you have to believe in the Messiah or you aren't going to make it. He said, well, that seems awfully hard. Oh, I can get harder than that. You've got to believe in him or it's chaos for you and judgment. Wow. Let me tell you about this. One, it's the Lord's revenge. Now, that picture didn't come out good, but it is really a good picture. What's that? Oh, it keeps falling. I thought there was some reason for it. I thought, this church is amazing. They even bring the pulpit down when it's time to quit. You know, it's not only, God is going to bring his revenge, and the minor prophets, 12 of them, if you read them carefully, they talk about it all the time. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Nobody's going to get away with anything. And number two, I like this, it's the day of the Lord's revelation of himself. Did you know the Bible teaches that when this happens, the whole world will know who he is. Wow. Praise the Lord. Number three, it's the Lord's refining of his people. This is a teaching that's not easy for Jewish people to accept, but I think it's a wonderful, wonderful truth. God is going to refine his people. They speak about the refiner's fire. That's the Messiah cleaning house on the nation of Israel. Aye, it's coming. And here's a fourth thing. It's the Lord's reaction against all who have sinned against him. Did you know that those who are still rebelling, still sinning, those who attack Israel, want to get rid of them, do you know that God is going to take care of them and destroy them? Wow. You talk about amazing prophecies that are in the Bible. Well, I got one more thing to talk to you about on this subject, and that's the motives. Put it up there. Next slide. The motive. Well, it is the day, that's true, of the Lord's renovation of the entire planet. That's 2 Peter chapter 3. And boy, is it going to be renovated. Brand new. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Well, here's the final thing. The motives behind Armageddon. Why does God have it? What's it really all about? One, the problem of Jerusalem will be decided. Everybody's worried that Trump, who said, Jerusalem's the eternal capital of Israel, and he's been attacked so much, it's unbelievable. But Mike Pence told him, don't worry about it, you're on the right side. Now, Trump is vacillating, talking about splitting the land up and splitting up Jerusalem again. And Mike Pence just preached in Israel recently, and boy, did he give the opposite view. They now love Mike Pence. they're now calling for him to become president. I don't know. Politics, you can have it. But don't worry. Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel, and God will see to it. Number two, the power of God will be displayed in spectacular fashion. I've only hinted at it, but it's everywhere. Read Isaiah 13 and you will see what I mean. Or Ezekiel, where he says, I will magnify myself unto all nations of the world, and they will know that I, Messiah, am the Lord. By the way, feel free to say amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. God loves noise. Number three, the people of Israel will be delivered. Only God could produce that in the midst of Armageddon. But what blessing. And he says they're going to dwell in the land that I gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's half of Iraq, as well as all the other countries on the way there. And it's in all the minor prophets, all that scripture's in that little booklet. That includes all the notes I have. And number four, the person of the Messiah will be declared. The whole world. There won't be any arguments anymore. Revelation 19:16. I love this. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. I can still feel what I felt sitting in a Greek class in Revelation many, many years ago. And we came to that chapter, came to that verse, and we were in Greek. Now, Greek does have some capital letters. They call them unctuals. But I notice that the letters in Revelation 19:16 are larger than the normal capital letters in Greek. And I got to thinking, I mean, the teacher's on teaching something, and I was on this one. And I decided to look up all Bibles I could possibly look at in the seminary library, which I did. It took me some time. And to see if the words King of Kings and Lord of Lords were not just capitals of Greek, but giant capitals. As though this is the theme of the Bible. King of kings and Lord of lords. Where's the hallelujah chorus? Woo! Man. Oh, God is so good. All the promises of God are going to be done. Every last one of them. God never has promised anything that he won't do. Wow. Did you know he said, I'm going to be supremely happy in heaven? I don't know about you, but I read it. I'm going to have joy forevermore. There will be no pain anymore. No sickness. No diabetic medications. None of that. No doctors. No nurses. No death. The former things will not be remembered and they will pass away and all things will be made new. I almost feel like you want to sign up to go? The Lord said, heaven and earth shall pass away, which it will, but my words will never pass away. We're just getting started. Let's close with prayer. Father, how we thank you for your word. And though this is a terrible, terrible event that's coming to planet earth, and it seems like soon, I pray, Lord, that our trust and confidence will be in you. I pray that everybody in this audience will have a personal commitment and relationship to our Lord Yeshua. They will know that He's the Messiah, He's the Savior, He's the one who died for our sins, rose again from the dead, and He's coming back for us. May they turn to Him before it's too late. Thank you, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.